I'd like to reconvene the January 28th, 2020 meeting of the Marine Resources Commission. Take these. Next item on the agenda is item number 10, Isle of Wight County, number 14-1236. For the record, I will be recusing myself and abstaining from deliberating or voting on this matter, as in my previous life, I was a private citizen in Isle of Wight County and also served for a short period of time as an interim member of the Smithfield Town Council, which has deliberated this matter as well. So I do not feel it appropriate. So at this time, I'll turn the chairmanship over to Mr. Ballard.
Ms. Peabody.
I have passed out comments for the record that are by Department of Game and Inland Fisheries. We received these comments after your book was made, and I will discuss these and give an overview in my presentation. Isle of Wight County is requesting authorization to reduce the time of year restriction for in-stream work by 3 weeks for a previously approved pedestrian bridge crossing over Jones Creek in Isle of Wight County. My presentation now is asking for 3 weeks. However, the public notice asks for 2 weeks. So after further consideration for mitigative measures, the applicant is now asking for an additional week. So that would be March 7th. Specifically, the previously approved permit says that the permittee agrees not to conduct any of the authorized in-stream work between February 15th and June 30th of any year to minimize adverse impacts on anadromous fish species. The previously approved permit is a county and VDOT federally funded project where the county is connecting Nike Park in Carrollton to Windsor Castle Park in Smithfield with a walking and biking path. And a portion of that path is going to bridge over Jones Creek. And here you can see about 210 feet of Jones Creek. And on this aerial, you see the existing vehicular bridge. The new bridge is going to go parallel and adjacent to the vehicular bridge. And here is the approved plan view of the new 15-foot bridge. It's going to have four piers. Each pier has two piles that are going to go in water. These are the portions of the project that we're going to discuss today, and also the portion of the project that are held to the time of year restriction for in-water construction. The Commission has seen this project twice previously. The first time was in the December 2014 Commission hearing. The project was objected to by adjacent property owners for a number of reasons, but specifically for navigation issues. After hearing that, the Commission tabled the project and asked staff to work with the applicant to fine-tune some of the navigation issues. And it came back in January of 2015 and was approved. At that time, staff recommendation and through the public review process, staff recommended a time of year restriction for anadromous fish. That was based off of Department of Game and Inland Fisheries that gave us the recommendation that Jones Creek is designated a potential anadromous fish use area. During those public hearings and during the discussions, to my knowledge, there were no issues brought up about the time of year restriction specifically by the applicant. On September 3rd of 2019, the project contractor started work, Lynnhaven Marine and Dock. This was following some delays due to unforeseen conflicts with a power line that crosses the creek. That power line had to be removed and drilled under the creek to prevent any issues with their machinery. VMRC received a letter on behalf of the contractor asking for relief of the time of year restriction. Construction was lagging behind. They didn't think they were going to be able to get all of the in-water construction done before February 15th, and that's why we're here. So here's a progress picture. This was taken yesterday, so you can see since they started in September, the applicant has placed all of their piles through the marsh, and it's a considerable-sized marsh. This is the other side, so you can see the barge has been spudded, and the machinery is ready to go to start in water construction. The agent on behalf of the contractor has offered some mitigation measures for protection to anadromous fish. Those include ramp-up procedures that's supposed to scare fish away during pile driving, gives them an option to hear it move, and cushion blocks for sound attenuation. So that's a wood block that goes on top of the pile so that when it's driven, it deadens that sound. They also offered to dewater around the last two piles or single pier using an aquadam. They would dewater, this would get it out of in-water construction, and then they would be able to work. They wanted to do around both piles, but one of them, both piers, but one of those piers is just too deep to put in an aquadam and dewater. They also offered a $10,000 contribution to the Marine Habitat and Waterways Improvement Fund to support improving habitat for anadromous fishes. So the Virginia Institute of Marine Science and the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries have both reviewed their mitigation proposal. In the Virginia Institute of Marine Science comments, they say that Jones Creek is a potential migratory habitat usage area specifically for alewife and blueback herring. These are known as river herring. The reason that potential is used is because Jones Creek is a data-limited creek. They know that they know that alewife use waters downstream. However, there is limited data to know that alewife are going into Jones Creek. But they know that the habitat there is specific for the migration and the use of river herring. They also said that the requested relaxation dates are during the known river herring migratory timeline. Specifically, alewife are one of the first river herring to start migrating. We are at the lower portion of the James River, so that puts us again at an earlier time. And they expect that if alewife are in the area, they may be migrating by February 15th. And they state that working during spawning migration could negatively impact migratory behaviors. For two reasons, the sound associated with the pile driving and then any sediment plume associated with also placing those piers. The Department of Game and Inland Fisheries comments that you have in front of you are very similar. Both of the comments also give an additional option for the commission. If the commission decides to approve the project with a delayed time of year restriction, then in addition to or instead of putting money into the Marine Habitat and Waterways Improvement Fund, the applicant could instead monitor Jones Creek for fishes, particularly alevines, which river herring are part of, and provide those raw data to the commission for use in the future. And the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries says something similar to that, but goes a little bit farther about how they would like that survey to be done. And just to mix a little bit of fisheries management and habitat management, river herring was determined to be depleted on a coastwide stock status in 2017 and found to be at historic lows. In particular, these stock assessment scientists used the word depleted because fishing is really no longer taking place in most areas for herring. And the biggest issues associated with bringing back river herring is habitat. In fact, Virginia established a moratorium on the possession of river herring in 2012. Amendment 2 of the ASMSC's Interstate Management Plan actually mandates that states establish seasonal windows of compatibility for activities known or suspected to adversely affect river herring life stages and their habitats. And the way Virginia does that is our time of year restrictions for in-water construction. So I'm going to summarize. I'm going to read into the record our summary and recommendation by staff. Staff understands the applicant's concerns to complete the project in a timely manner and the contractor's desire to avoid financial penalties outlined in the construction contract if the completion date is exceeded. In fact, the contract may stipulate that the contractor will be held to up to $200,000 in fines if they don't get their work completed. While staff supports the merits of the community-focused project, the in-water activities may still have a negative impact on anadromous fishes during their spawning and migratory season. We hope that perhaps financial agreements can be agreed upon between the county and the contractor to avoid steep fines, rather than potentially impairing the reproduction of a depleted stock. I Love Vike County could perhaps negate the need for the waiver request by eliminating the fine to the contractor for being behind in the schedule and prevent impacts to a protected resource. The Virginia Institute of Marine Science is the commission's mandated scientific advisor for fisheries-related matters, and they continue to recommend adherence to the time-of-year restriction to prevent potential impacts to anadromous fish stocks that have experienced severe declines in recent decades. Accordingly, staff is unable to support the request to remove the time of year restriction for any in-water construction. If the proposed aqua dam can be installed and dewatered before February 15th, work within the dewater area would not need to adhere to the time of year restriction. As such, staff supports adherence to the time of year restriction for in-water construction with a revision to the project plans to place a temporary cofferdam around the most landward pile before February 15th. Furthermore, staff does not support an in-lieu payment to the Marine Habitat Waterways Improvement Fund, as the fund is not currently structured for funding mitigation projects, nor should a contribution to the fund be seen as justification for a time-of-year waiver. Only if a project is justified on its merits should compensation or an in-lieu fee for compensation be considered.
Okay, are there any questions for staff? Is there anyone here in favor of this project? Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
State your name for the record.
Good afternoon. I'm Jamie Oliver with Alawite County Transportation Division. I'm the transportation manager and project manager for this particular project. I had some comments that started with good morning, Commission. We'll just skip that and go ahead and address the staff report. The county is the actual applicant on the permit, and it is the permit in our name. We have given the contractor our permission to go forward requesting the waiver based on the mitigation that he's willing to offer at his own risk due to his construction activities. But we are here to go ahead and present his case to the commission and support him making that case to you. One of the things we think is important to note is that the permit was approved several years ago for the project, and the project's actually been under active construction since 2017. And we fulfilled the time of year restriction in 2017, 2018, and 2019. At this point, we're four piles away from being done with the particular impact to the waterway, and so we're asking for a very minor mitigation of that. Now, when we first came here, we had a list of mitigation that the contractor was offering, and Rachel went over those very clearly. However, after conversation with Fish and Game, I think that the idea of mitigation and compromise, we might have a better solution. We have the option to provide sampling, and as part of that sampling, if we find the fish, we would stop and there would be no impacts. If there aren't fish through the sampling process, then we would be able to continue for that 3 weeks, finish those piles, and move on out of the water with no additional impacts. What that does for the construction schedule is that they would finish in June. Without those 2 weeks or 3 weeks of additional work, they won't finish until October. And then our remediation work in the area and our revegetation won't start until winter of this year. So we would certainly think it's in the best interest of the ecosystem for us to be out of there in June and monitoring the reestablishment at that point throughout the summer and fall growing season. So we think it's a reasonable request. We're interested in staff's feedback. We're interested, the contractor's here, trying to make a good faith effort to find out if there's anything else we can address for you. But basically, we're here to answer questions based on what was submitted.
Are there any questions of the applicants? Sever.
Thank you. So you mentioned you're happy to work with staff feedback, but you're pushing back on the staff recommendation to not support the request to remove the time of year restriction, correct?
We're pushing back on the concern that the window needs to remain conservative to meet the needs of the fish population. I think that's very true. It's a very large window that we've met over the last 3 years because we don't really know when the fish are there. But we think by using a sampling technique, we're still committed to not impacting the fish, but we'd be doing that based on data, rather than doing that based on a conservative window that's not based on data at this point. So our goal, we think we're meeting the same goal of not impacting the fish. We would stop if they were discovered through the sampling process. We're just pushing back on the idea that a conservative window can achieve that goal. I think there's more than one way to achieve that goal.
Ms. Everett, follow-up?
Yeah, follow-up. And maybe this defers, maybe it's inappropriate timing, but just to defer to VIMS, that VIMS bases that window on, I don't know if it's conservative time frame, but I guess my thought is that BMRC staff recommendation is requesting you follow VIM's guidance. But I think you're saying VIM's guidance is maybe more conservative than needed, and you would want to use your own data to supplant that.
Everett, my name is Chuck Rodley. I'm with Stantec. I was engaged by the contractor to help the permittee in this endeavor. And in the dialogue back and forth with VIMS and Rachel with BMRC, it was noted that the window is there, but the data is represented by fish species that have been identified much further downstream. They don't have sample data in Jones Creek or even the Pagan River, for that matter, to my understanding. And so the compromise here of sampling provides a then basis for actual data on which to make the decision. And the decision here would be to stop work at that time so there's no impact on anadromous fish species.
An appropriate time to have maybe VIMS respond to that statement.
Mr. Tankard, did you have a question?
Yes, but I also understood that the idea of dewatering this area so that we could work with it, with the pilings out of water, was also an option. Are you all not in agreement that could be an option?
It is for the last two piles, the abutment vent, the one closest to shore. Part of the difficulty there, as expressed from the contractor, is he's moving from east to west in his construction sequence, and his last step for those last two vents will be to walk his equipment onto upland, turn around, and then install the last two vents. So the porta dam can't be installed until he gets his equipment into uplands. So the likelihood of us being able to install the porta dam for February 15th, as per staff's recommendation, and have the equipment up on uplands, I thought the fish sampling, kind of accomplished all of our goals by establishing the presence and therefore stopping all work in stream versus these other mitigation measures, which were done somewhat prophylactically, not knowing if the fish were there or not.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Ms. Everett.
Sure, an additional question. Staff had recommended that there be some reassessment of the financial agreement between the contractor so fines could be avoided to continue this work. I know you'd like to, it sounds like, get this done and have it open maybe, or have it completed by the summer instead of October. But was that possible to come to some renegotiation of those fines for the contractor to avoid?
Unfortunately, it is not. Those fines are liquidated damages that we're contractually obligated through our agreement with Federal Highways to impose. We have discussed the issue with Federal Highways when we ran into the delay related to the power lines having to be relocated, and they did agree to an adjustment to June. So they have agreed to waive the fines up until the June deadline, but after June there will be no additional waiver of liquidated damages. That is not an option.
The sampling process, would you kind of delineate how that would occur and sort of the touch points and the process of when you would shut down the piling?
So the finer points of the sampling would need to be discussed post this hearing with VIMS. And we've contacted Dr. Garman up at VCU as well to see if he had availability from staffing standpoint to conduct the sampling. He is available to do that. DGIF had recommended potentially using a gill net. Dr. Garman wanted to also explore perhaps acoustics to see if they could get the results without putting a gill net in the water. But all of that would need to be discussed further with VIMS to finalize that. And if you took action today to support this, we would have approximately 2 weeks to get that coordinated and get staff approval of that before they initiate a sampling.
Are there any further questions of the applicants?
No.
Is there anyone here who's in opposition to this project? I think we'd probably like to hear from VIMS on their feelings.
Lyle Barnell from VIMS. Let me first say on this that we deal a lot directly with staff about requests for time of year waivers. They've been quite a few this year. We do not rubber stamp these and say you just need to have a time of year. For example, just last week we dealt with two, one in the York River, one near where you had a project before at the Lynn Haven, that we looked at what was proposed, when it was done, and recommended that there is no time of year needed. So we look at these very critically on a case-by-case basis for all of them. And when we say that a time of year is necessary as we coordinate with our fisheries faculty and staff, we don't take that lightly. It's commendable that the proposal is for ramp-ups and various other mitigative processes. And just to be clear, again, this is for concrete piles, not for hollow steel piles, where there's a added concern for us from a mortality perspective. With concrete piles, it's not. It's more behavioral perspective from this. So having said those things, this is a very narrow waterway, and those mitigative processes are effective, have been shown to be effective, but the larger the waterway, they're more effective, and this is a very small waterway. As for the lack of data, we wish we had data everywhere, but that we just can't do that. But we do have documented spawning runs in the Nansman, documented for river herring, and that's as the fish swims not that far away. So we have very high confidence, and there's been a metadata analysis that was used that we provided to the commission previously that showed that this is the habitat in Jones Creek is very amenable to river herring. So we contend that because of the size of the waterway, and especially since if there's a really wet spring, then there's more confidence that Jones Creek could be used for a spawning run and such, even though we have no data because of the Nansman example. But the proposal for sampling is new, and that's a very, very good, I think, way to go about this if necessary. The devil is in the details of how you do this and the triggers that go there. It's we would be happy to work with that if that was the commission's decision on how that might be best done. Dr. Garman is very good at doing these things. We have great confidence in him. He's a very good scientist. And so if that's the decision of the commission, we will work with that for that. But again, even though sampling is a very positive step, we still contend that because of the size of the waterway and where this is, and especially during the time of year because of river herring, the February 15th start date was really set historically for shad and striped bass. River herring can run earlier. So the time of year that they're looking at, it would specifically be more have more of an effect for river herring. So that's one of our primary concerns here. But if it's the decision of the commission and the staff that if this is the way we go, then we'll be happy to work with a sampling design that may address this.
Do you think you would be able to come up with an agreeable sampling protocol before February 15th?
Well, it's not easy to get all of our fisheries people together to do stuff at the speed of business per se, other than the speed of science. We're actually Dr. Tuckey was going to be here today to do this, but appropriately he's in an Alicene workshop, so there's all these other things going on. We'll do our best. We try to be as responsive as we can. We don't want to be a roadblock or an obstacle for anything, but we'll do our best for that. If that's the decision, of course.
Mr. Friends.
Yeah, my question is, what is the distance that this pile driving has an effect on river herring or LY?
Well, that depends on the method and how effective the ramp-up procedures are. The depth of the water, the makeup of the substrate, that's all got an effect, got an influence on the sound wave itself. So I really can't answer that question with there's too many metrics involved to answer that question on a conceptual basis. But this waterway, just in relative to other waterways that are used that we know, such as the Nansman in areas we have, is relatively narrow. and shallower, a little bit shallower.
Mr. Tankard.
So, you know.
Pardon me?
February 15th is your day, is sort of a day that you all have targeted. Does that have anything to do with water temperature?
That's a very good question, Mr. Tankard, and we've discussed this in VIMS for many years. That historically, it's very difficult to find out where that actually came about, but we know that the methods were, you know, when documentation of spawning was done, and water temperature, which is, you know, kind of controls spawning runs. But that was done many decades ago. Things have changed now, and we're really concerned internally if that is still accurate. Now, the answer may be that not what anybody wants to hear. It may be different and provide more problems for construction in the water. But we do have questions about the accuracy of that date and the window itself.
Interesting. So can I follow up question?
Sure.
So in a warm year like this and sort of the warming climate, what you're saying is that the February 15th could no longer be a date that we should be pinning our hat on. It should be maybe the 1st of February or 10th of February.
We have data at VIMS that shows that they don't look at the calendar when they start swimming up the tributaries of Chesapeake Bay, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Seifert?
I'm looking at a letter here that was given to us from the Department of Game and Inland Fishery, and I believe there's been some mention that y'all rely a lot on them for the sampling. Is that right?
They conduct sampling, but we also conduct sampling, and it goes into, you know, the mix of what we look at, yes.
Let me read this to you. It says, this is from Game and Inland Fishery. We would be agreeable to a modification of time of year restrictions to allow work during February and early March. It's got parentheses. That's from March 7th through June 30, 2020. If monitoring of fish occurrence in Jones Creek is performed beginning February 15th, so that we may determine which species are using Jones Creek during the spring migration and spawning to better inform future decisions. Do you support that statement?
Well, I will support or not, I will say that that if we can confidently determine the presence or absence of river herring and shad and other anadromous fish, that would make it to where there are no effects if there are no fish there. So if we can confidently determine that those fish are absent, then, of course, that would answer the question.
And if I can follow up, we recommend sampling of the fish in Jones Creek beginning February 15th and ending on March 30th. Is that something realistic that you guys can do?
Well, we would, depending on the construction window, we would suspect that should go a little bit before construction begins and a little bit after construction is in, or until construction is ended and everything is clear from the waterway activity, yes.
Okay, thank you.
That's how we would look at that.
Dr. Neal?
Just to cut back to the chase, VIMS recommendation is for us to adhere to the time of year restrictions.
That is correct, but I will qualify that to say that this new proposal, we learned about it when you did today. So
that complicates things. Any other questions for VIMS?
Well, yes, I do have one more question. Now that you have learned about this communication at the same time we have, does that change your...
We would have still recommended that time of year be honored because of the characteristics there. But as I say, we would be happy to, if that's the decision of the commission, to attempt to do this in a more practical and empirical way, then we will be happy to cooperate with whatever decision you make for that, yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Are there any further comments either in for or against this project? Seeing none, the matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Grants.
Ms. Peabody. Did they say how long it would take to drive the two pilings that they need to put in the water?
And actually, the contractor is here, if you don't mind. I think the contractor could probably answer that well for you.
Sure.
Thank you. I appreciate you letting me speak. We'd probably be looking at a total of, for the last four piles, probably about six working days.
And two of those, you can put a dam around where
the two
you can do it out of water.
After we crawl off the barge on the land, yes, we would be able to put a port a dam or structure around them. Something that we could put in and remove without using our equipment to drive it, which wouldn't help anything. So a porta dam's a pretty good solution for that.
Okay, so you're probably saying 3 or 4 days for the two that are in the water.
Probably about, yeah, 3 or 4 days for the two in the water.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for the contractor? Now the matter's before the commission again.
I think maybe just a comment. To me, you know, I think staff recommendation is clear in terms of, is unable to support the request to move the time of year restriction. And I think we've heard from them that they do, you know, based on science, prefer time of year restriction. I think that's the point of a time of year restriction. There's, I'm sure, a lot of projects who, for monetary reasons or other factors, would love to not have a time of year restriction, but it's there for a reason. It's there to protect important species, and I think to ignore it wouldn't be a good practice.
Mr. France.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with Ms. Everett here. I mean, if this was gizzard shad and white perch, it might be one thing, but river herring are protected, and even shad and striped bass are in question sometime, and I think it's important that we adhere to what staff recommendations are.
Mr. Tanker?
I'll just follow up and say, you know, I mean, 2017, 18, 19, we adhered to the restrictions. I really don't see any sense in not adhering to them in this year as well. We're dealing with a fish that is depleted and shouldn't suffer the liabilities of our negligence.
We will entertain a motion if someone wants to make one.
I'll make a motion to approve staff recommendation.
Second.
Second by Mr. Miner. And to be clear, staff recommendation is to deny the request for a time of year extension?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And allow a modification if the contractor can get an aquadam in before February 15th, but it sounds like that is not a possibility in his timeline.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Chair votes aye as well.